Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Anthony. And to preview it, well, if this guy don't know it about Ohio State, then nobody knows it. Let's just be honest about this. In college football in general, we go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we welcome him in. He is the curator. He is the author of Phil Steele's College Football Preview. It is at PhilSteele042 on Twitter. It's Phil Steele. Hello, Phil.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And aren't you happy football season for the Big Ten starting this weekend?
Oh, you know Lima is, because Lima, you got to explain it to me. You haven't been watching college football all year, have you?
Yeah, it hasn't really been real to me at all. You know, there's been so much. I know, Phil, you're the guy that had to explain how your remote control works to operate all those fancy, highfalutin TVs that you have, which is still incredible. And I don't understand how when I go to a bar or a restaurant and they try to switch one TV, they can't handle it, and yet you're sitting there being able to take care of all the different programming for an entire day. It is absolutely mesmerizing.
And I tell you what, I watch every game. I don't care if it's Sun Belt. Even the MAC is going to be starting pretty soon on, I believe, next Wednesday, so that'll be good. But, yeah, I enjoy college football every single game.
Oh, I got questions about the MAC coming up. You can trust me on that one. So far, Phil, you know, there's been a lot of questions about how much the COVID season has impacted. We saw some upsets early in the Big 12. That kind of settled down. But, you know, let me start with that because Oklahoma – a little bit of a rough start. Texas, a bit of a rough start. Who is the class right now of the Big 12? Should I pencil in or maybe even pen in Oklahoma State?
You know, they're undefeated right now, but I don't think they'll be undefeated at the end of the year. Oklahoma State hasn't really impressed me. You go back to their Tulsa game, they could have lost that one. I thought West Virginia outplayed the majority of the game, and they've got one good win against Kansas. Spencer Sanders, their starting quarterback, got injured in the opener. They've been using a true freshman in Shane Illingworth. We'll have to see how that comes out. And Chuba Hubbard, who was a darling of sports last year with 2,000 yards, only 339 yards in three games, 4.9 yards per carry. I think the Big 12 is wide open. Texas could still get back in there, even though they have two losses. Oklahoma can get back in there. And I think Iowa State, who's playing Oklahoma State this weekend, is going to be a big-time threat. In fact, they're 3-0 in the Big 12, and they've already knocked off TCU and Oklahoma. And your dark horse would be TCU. Keep an eye on them this week against Oklahoma. But to me, I think the Big 12 is basically eliminated from the playoff chase. It's going to be probably a two-loss Big 12 champ at the end of the year.
All right, so when we talk about the Big 10, obviously the Ohio State fervor is going to be there, seeing Justin Fields and Ohio State and Ryan Day in year two. Are there any legitimate teams, not that can beat Ohio State in a single game, but are there any legitimate teams that can win this conference over Ohio State?
Yeah, I think the biggest threat for Ohio State is going to come next week, Penn State. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been going over the roster with Coach James Franklin each year of the 7 years that he's been at Penn State. And you go back to that first year, I mean, he had defensive linemen on his offensive line in the first string, and they barely got to the two deep with quality players. This year they go three deep with quality players, where if a third stringer comes in the game, you're happy. They're deep at every single position. Last year they were a young team, and they gave Ohio State a game last year. They've got Sean Clifford back, a very deep stable of running backs. Journey Brown being out doesn't worry me at all, because they've got five guys waiting in the wings. that could do the same job. They've got Pat Freiermuth, one of the best tight ends in the country, a veteran offensive line, dynamic defensive line, and even losing Micah Parsons at linebacker, they're strong. I think talent-wise, they're pretty close to Ohio State. It's too bad for Penn State, though, that they're not going to have the whiteout conditions, because that would have made that game extremely competitive. But I do think Penn State's got the talent
to play with Ohio State. We routinely go there to Happy Valley, and we take care. It's great. It's great for tradition. It's great to get the rivals going. But let's be honest. Nobody at Ohio State is afraid of the whiteout. Checkmate. Thank you very much. I want to ask you something, Phil, about Ohio State. They have lost every single year over the last years. They've lost a dominant pass rusher. And they lose another one again, yet they've been able to reload. Are they able to reload this year and come at the quarterback again? Or is this going to be a step back for once?
Yeah, I still have my number 7 rated defensive line in the country. I think you'd be surprised at what you see from Zach Harrison, the sophomore. Tyreek Smith is another guy who's probably going to be the big-time pass rusher. They'll put him in as a pure pass rusher. Jonathan Cooper coming back. I think the defensive line, they're not going to be quite up to last year's standards, but they're still going to be strong, and I rate them the 7th best defensive line in the country.
Phil Steele joining us on the show. All right, who's going to be the surprise of the Big Ten East right now?
I think you'd have to look at Indiana. They're a team that's been trying to break through for the last couple of years. And this year they may be poised to do it. They've played the big boys tough into the fourth quarter and then usually falling apart. But 17 returning starters this year. You got to like Michael Penix Jr., a QB, if he stays healthy all year. Stevie Scott's a 230-pound running back that's got speed. Wap Fillyar is one of the best wide receivers in the Big Ten. Peyton Hendershot, one of the best tight ends. And the defense looks solid across the board. So I think Indiana's going to make some noise. I don't think they're a threat to Ohio State, but I do think they're going to surprise and perhaps even pass Michigan in the Big Ten East.
Can you speculate with me for just a second? I know you don't like to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway, Phil. I want you to go with me. Phil Steele joining us on the show. So Nebraska makes a big stink about wanting to play college football, and in the first crossover game, they send you to Ohio State in that crossover game. So, I mean, is that on purpose by the Big Ten? Like, okay, yeah, you want football so bad? Here you go. All right, have fun.
Yeah, and then game 2 is Wisconsin. Game 3 is Northwestern, who I have as the surprise team in the Big Ten this year. Remember, Northwestern 2 years ago was in the Big Ten title game, and they have an outstanding defense. Game 4 is Penn State. So there, how you like it now, Nebraska? You're back to playing football. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty rough start for Nebraska, and I do think the Big Ten, you know, with that talk about, you know, maybe we're going to leave the Big Ten, I think the Big Ten dealt them a tough schedule.
I love it how he actually agrees with me on this. Go ahead there, Lima. Go ahead.
Yeah, every year we're joined by Phil Steele. Every year we hear about a new Michigan quarterback that is going to be the quarterback. And I thought it was going to be Dylan McCaffrey. We know what happened there. So now is it Joe Milton? Do they have a guy that is going to be the guy to bring Michigan back?
Well, you know, Milton's the guy. And when I talked to their offensive coordinator, Josh Gattis, he said he's the most talented quarterback they have. He's got the arm strength, the straight line speed. He just needs to improve his pocket presence. But he's one of the freakish talents that he's seen a quarterback. He's got a very strong arm. Now we'll see if he can work behind that offensive line. I mean, the offensive line lost 4 legitimate guys, most of them to the NFL. So they got a reworked offensive line in front of them. But he's got some good skill players to work with. At the running back spot looks very deep. And Milton is an athlete. We'll see how quickly he develops into reading defenses.
Well, I want to talk about the running back position for Ohio State. Yesterday you heard Ryan Day kind of sizing that up, and, you know, one guy in particular who was injured in the spring game seems like he's going to be ready to go in Master Teague. What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
Yeah, and that to me is key, because you go back to last year, even when they had J.K. Dobbins, it was still nice to turn to Master Teague off the bench, rush for 788 yards, 5.8 yards per carry. I really think they need to have a couple of quality backs there. And Troy Sermon's a very good running back, but having Master Teague back and healthy is huge. And when I wrote the magazine, that was a big concern of mine. Is Master Teague going to be back and healthy? Hearing that he's back and healthy makes me feel a lot more comfortable about the fact I picked Ohio State number 1 in the country in the magazine this year. I think they've got a great chance of running the table, because that, to me, was the one big question mark I had, was the depth at running back.
You think they could beat a team like Clemson this year?
Yeah, I do. Ohio State's a complete team. When you look at Clemson, I give Ohio State the advantage on the offensive line. You got three guys that turned down the NFL. Meanwhile, Clemson only has one starter back on the O-line. You line up the quarterbacks, and where Trevor Lawrence is my number one pick in next year's draft, Justin Fields not too far behind, and Fields impressed me last year with a 41-3 ratio, and they've got the talent across the board to stand with Clemson. So I think the defense is extremely close. The offensive line edge to Ohio State. I picked them to beat Clemson in the start of the year, and I still would stick with Ohio State.
I think there's a couple teams in this conference where their coaches have bullseyes on them by media. I don't think that Jim Harbaugh is going anywhere, unless it's on his own personal decision. I don't think that Scott Frost would be fired or anything like that. But this is going to be a year where, like, a team like Nebraska, they could finish 3-5. Goodness gracious, they could finish even 2-6. I'm not sure about Adrian Martinez. I know that he loves them. And the same thing with Michigan. Like, they could be 3-5. They could be 4-4. I'm not really sure where the neighborhood is where you have them there. I just don't know if anybody should really be overreacting in a season like this where you had to stop them, and start them up again, and then make it through a season where hopefully everybody's upright and all right.
Yeah, and those two coaches you talked about, Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh, I think this year they're safe. No matter what happens, I think they're safe. But, yeah, I think it would put them on the hot seat for next year if they had a really bad season this year. Then all of a sudden they're on the hot seat. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see less coaching changes at the end of the year because of all the stuff the head coaches have gone through. So whereas the coaching changes have been sort of rising over the last 5 years, everybody wants that turnaround. They want to go from the basement to a contender in 3 years like a lot of these teams have been doing. I think we'll see a lot less coaching changes here. And really, when you look at the Big Ten, which coach would you put completely on the hot seat? I don't think there is one this year.
Agree.
Well, why or how do you think – you know, all this wacky offseason, stopping, starting, keeping the workouts going at Woody Hayes and at a lot of these other campuses, how do you think that impacts the normal way things go between these conferences and between the big boys and the little boys? Do you think it changes everything, or do you think the Ohio States, Clemsons, Alabamas of the world, and we've already seen a taste of what they're going to do over there, but do you think it's going to be the same old? Do you think it won't have much of an impact at all?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference I feel this year is your first-year head coaches, because when I talked to them over the summer, I talked to 110 of the 130 head coaches out there, and the ones that really are struggling this year are the ones that didn't have spring practice, didn't really know their teams. Now, they've got an elongated time to get to know their teams prior to the start of the season, starting so late. But let's take somebody like Mel Tucker at Michigan State. You're looking at a guy that's inherited an inexperienced roster, and then he's got to learn these players, and he's got to do it with a new offense coordinator, a new defense coordinator. And as you talked about, all the interruptions and the lack of spring practice, I think the inexperienced head coaches with the inexperienced teams are going to struggle this year, and the veteran teams are going to do quite well. And like Ohio State, for example, they've been practicing a bunch, even in August. So I think they'll be ready once the season starts.
I'm willing to go on record and say I will do a full OBJ and pay players to win football games at the University of Akron. Will my Zips win any games this season?
I think they will. You know, talking to Coach Art this year, I feel that this year's team is clearly far better than they were heading into last year. Last year was an inexperienced team, and, you know, they were going through the coaching change, but they will. They'll win a football game this year for sure. I think they're a much improved team.
Thank God you said that. Go ahead, Lima.
Well, yeah, we've had Tom Arth. By the way, are you slipping, Phil? You didn't talk to 20 of the head coaches. What's going on? I mean, this doesn't sound like the Phil Steele I'm used to.
Wow.
Sorry about that, guys. It was a COVID year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I would totally agree.
I think it's amazing how you put this together, and this had to be the trickiest of seasons ever to try to put something like that together, considering all the limitations out there.
You know, to be honest with you, there was a time when Ohio got shut down and my entire staff is laid off and I'm just working in the office by myself and I'm wondering if there's going to be a football season. I'm like, am I putting out a magazine this year? And then, you know, we were able to bring the folks back. I started talking to the coaches. The coaches got me fired up because they were like, you know what, Phil, you put the ball on the field, we'll be ready to play. So then I went full force and put the magazine out. We printed less of them this year, so it was a little bit bizarre. We went to the press in July as opposed to the end of May like we normally do. But all the information is the same as always. And so I'm pretty happy about it, and I think the magazine turned out well this year.
When do you start working on, like, the next year? When are you working on 2021? Already or –
Yeah, as soon as a team's season is complete. So normally it's the the Sunday after Thanksgiving. A bunch of team seasons are complete. We can start getting the stats turned around, put on the pages, proofed. I can start doing my post write-throughs of it. It's going to get a little bit later start this year because the teams are going to be playing into December. So I'm going to say it'll be the middle of December when we actually start full force. But it takes a full 6 months to put this magazine out.
Off the top of your head, because a lot of people, and they tweet at you, at PhilSteele042, they have their magazine, and like I see a lot of people like, I'm on the beach and I'm reading your magazine, and they send it to you. What's the weirdest place you've ever seen somebody take a picture with your magazine?
That's a heck of a question. I can't come up with one extremely weird place that would make it good for radio. So it's most of them are on the beaches or in their living room or you know at the bookstore themselves. But nothing that's really struck me as weird, like in a haunted house or someplace like that.
I just can't imagine Phil be sitting there going, yeah, I don't think I'm going to retweet that one. You know what? We're going to leave that one there. Phil Steele joining us on the show. Considering the Mac, how big is this for the Mid-American Conference? And then, and I know you got other things you got to do real quick. How big is this for the Mid-American Conference that they're actually playing a schedule considering everything that's going on? For their future as well.
Well, I think it's huge. If you try to go in the spring, you're ruining two football seasons. If you don't play football for a year, you're putting yourself extremely behind. So the MAC playing this year, even with the limited schedule, I think is a must. And you know, you look at this first weekend, it's all on the weekdays, trying to get as many games in. Maybe they'll get more eyes on the games even than normal. So it'll be interesting. But, yeah, thank God the MAC's playing as opposed to not playing, because I think it would have definitely been a big factor in putting them behind.
You can get it at PhilSteele.com. They got the updated schedules there as well. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it at Books A Million. It's the Phil Steele College Football Preview. It's the author, Phil Steele. Phil, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the very best.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you guys this morning. Have yourself a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.